Well, good morning, church.
Good morning.
It sure is good to see you today. My name is Stephen Combs, and I am the pastor of worship here at Eastgate. And I'm delighted to be standing in the pulpit this morning as we give Pastor Gary and Miss Robin, which is strange for me to talk about. That's my parents, Gary and Robin. They're actually down in Mexico right now encouraging a family that we've sent down there on mission, the Castro family. And so I think they've posted a few pictures online, or at least I've seen some somehow. And so we're praying for them, that they'll be encouraging down there and that lives will be changed. And so regardless, it's my honor to be here this morning preaching and to be kicking off a brand new series today called The Power of Spiritual Habits. In this series, that we're going to be speaking about some of the historic spiritual habits of the church, and we'll see that the habits themselves are good habits, but we will also see that they are disciplines that have no inherent power of their own, but when connected to the Holy Spirit, they have incredible power. As I consider this idea of having incredible power, incredible potential, I'm mindful that probably just about everybody in this room has a smartphone in their pocket right now. And it's been said that this device has more computing intelligence than the computers that took us to the moon. And so we have incredible potential in these smartphones, but they are built with one critical need, and that is that they can't self-power. They have to be plugged into some sort of source of power that will recharge the battery, and then it can then go and be incredibly useful. You take away the power of this phone, and it's the most expensive paperweight in your house. And so as we compare that then to, it's interesting, some similarities here in that the way that God has created you and I, that from the time we were in the womb, he built into us some natural talents and some natural gifting that was going to shape you into the type of person that there's a lot of potential in what he sees in you. And then past that point, if you are a Christ follower, then upon accepting Jesus, that he has given you now some spiritual gifting that you weren't physically born with, but as you've been reborn in Christ and in the Spirit, he's given you spiritual gifts. And so you have incredible potential, but like the phone, if you don't learn how to plug in and to charge, then you're not living up to your potential. Some of us this morning might feel like you're an expensive paperweight here today. And so what we tend to do is we realize when it comes to physical things that we can't self-power. It's a no-brainer. I need food in order to survive. My body doesn't create its own food. I have to find that elsewhere, but my body does know what to do when I put food in it. It converts it to energy. But when it comes to spiritual things, I don't think we're always so self-aware. We don't know always where to plug in order to find the power that we need to function and to become the type of people that God has called us to be. And so what we're going to find in this series is that God's given you all the potential, but the spiritual habit is going to act like the power cord. It's going to act like the conduit in which if you will create a habit, the Holy Spirit will flow through that habit and empower you. And it actually will then, as you go, it's a cycle there. Because you've been given that power, you now will expend that power to do great things for the kingdom, and then you plug right back in and you just keep going with that. And so this the series theme here is the book of Ephesians chapter 4. It says, "Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy." And so there's two parts to this that I think are going to be critical for this series. And that first part is, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Let the Spirit, so this is an openness to it. This is a, you saying, I can't self-power, so I'm going to let you move. But then it says, put on your new nature. So it's you saying, I know I need it, but I'm going to put this habit now in place. And I'm asking that. This isn't just a willingness of the mind. This is an action that makes itself known through what you physically do. The truth is, we all have habits. I mean, it's like, you know, it's part of like who we are. I think as human beings, we develop habits, and maybe they're not intentional, and maybe you just never even really put like much thought into the things that we do. I mean, when you're hungry, you eat. That's your habit. Like, I'm gonna eat. Do you have good habits with that? Well, that's, you know that better than anybody. Are you putting in time to eat good food, but or not? But you do have the habit of eating. Everybody has some sort of habit when it comes to hygiene. Some are better than others. Some shower in the morning. Some shower in the evening. Some brush their teeth after every meal. Some hopefully get it in once a day. But you have your habits that you kind of just this morning naturally go to. And some of us right here are going, man, like you're already kind of like hitting on some, like I've got bad habits, man. Like I have this habit of biting my nails. I have this habit of if I have a still moment, my phone just floats out of my pocket and I doom scroll on Instagram, okay? So some of it might be bad habits that you're doing almost like subconsciously. So here today, what we're gonna say is, when it comes to spiritual things, that I'm recognizing that me saying, Holy Spirit, fill me, is more than just a posture of the heart. It's an action that I'm going to intentionally take that's going to give him a conduit to fill me. And then he's going to then use that action to do his will in my life. So the question we have this morning is, what habits are you doing intentionally that are helping you grow more like Jesus? Looking at your own life right now, what habits do you have in place that you are doing intentionally that are helping you grow more like Jesus? I love this quote from Craig Rochelle. He says, hope doesn't change your life. Habits do. You don't drift into consistency. You decide to do it. If you don't decide in advance, you'll likely default to the wrong things in the moment. Most people don't drift into spiritual maturity, financial stability, or leadership excellence. You pre-decide, define the specific habit, and you schedule it. Pre-decide what matters most, then build your life and leadership around it. I think we're all, like, if you've been walking this earth for any length of time, you're aware at this point that oftentimes, the good habits are the ones that require pre-deciding. They're the ones that are probably at first going to push you outside of your comfort zone. And I would go ahead and challenge today that we have seven spiritual habits we're going to be talking through, and there's more than that. But all seven of these are going to require you stepping out of your comfort zone. Because we are at war with our own flesh. We are at war with the things of this world, which want to drag you into complacency. And let's face it, the world doesn't want you to become the person that God created you to be. And so we're kicking this series off today by talking about a very foundational habit, and that's the habit of devotion. What's the goal? When we say this word devotion, that probably paints a whole lot of pictures for you. Putting simply what this goal looks like, the goal of devotion is to get alone with God, to talk to him, and to hear from him, to basically cultivate a relationship with him, and then from that point to recharge your batteries and then go do his will. If you can learn how to get alone, have a relationship, and recharge your batteries, then you've learned how to have a good devotion. So how do we develop this habit of devotion? What do we do in order to accomplish the goal of this habit? Well, as we look to the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark, Jesus actually gives us his own real life example on his habit of devotion. And by studying and applying the practices that we're going to see in today's story, we too can practice Jesus's habit of devotion. It's going to give us three ways here to practice the habit of Christ-like devotion. So as we read together, would you stand to your feet with me? We're going to open up our Bibles to Mark chapter 1. Turning to Mark chapter 1, it's also, our church uses the Church Center app, and you can see the event here, and it'll take you right to it in the Bible app. Mark chapter 1. I'm going to start us, and then we'll read the end of it together. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place. And there he prayed. And Simon and those who were with him searched for him. And they found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." And he said, let's read this verse 38 together. And he said to them, "Let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also, for that is why I came out." Let's pray together. Father, as we have read your word now, and Lord, just in this whole concept of devotion, I pray, God, that you would use these words to change our life. Help us to look at what Jesus did and to model our lives after him. I pray that someone here today will give their life to Jesus and will surrender to him. And we ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. So, we can practice the spiritual habit of Christ-like devotion by first setting aside a consistent time. Setting aside a consistent time. So right there, first thing we read in verse 35, and rising very early in the morning while it was still dark. We see Jesus do this thing. So very early in the morning, when you study the Greek language that this was originally written in, it's meant to kind of point towards the fourth watch of the night. And so kind of estimating like somewhere between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. This is very early. And I know some of y'all like that, you're up that early. That's not normal for me. I'm not a 3 a.m.er, okay? And so Jesus is up very early. It's still dark outside. So I think it's important for us to, like, when I read stories about Jesus, I can have a tendency to be like, well, he's Jesus, okay? He's going to do the good things and the right things, and it's going to come easy to him. But he's 100% God, but he's 100% man. Here's the context of this. The day before, it was the Sabbath, okay? Now, in this time period, you have to understand the Sabbath was a Saturday. Sunday was the first day of their week. Sunday was their Monday, okay? So the day before Saturday, it's their Sabbath. He and his disciples enter into the city of Capernaum, and Jesus goes straight to the synagogue, and he preaches. And then while he's there, a demon-possessed person shows up, and Jesus cleansed the demon-possessed person. He heals people, and then he finds out that Simon Peter's mother-in-law is sick with a fever, so he goes to her house and heals her of her sickness. But now, at this point, word's getting around of what he did in the synagogue earlier, the things that he taught, the miracles he did, and now there's a line at the door of Peter's house on into the evening, and Jesus isn't turning them away. He's healing them. He's freeing them, cleansing them of their demons. And he worked really hard, okay? Let's just, to summarize, he worked really hard. What did he do the day after he worked so hard? Did he sleep in? No. He got up so early that it was still dark outside. Because I think that partially, he knew Stephen Combs was going to be reading this one day and being challenged by this and inspired by this. He wanted us to see, hey man, even after a long day of pouring out, I know how important this habit is. And so he made a point of it. He got up really, really early, basically on a Monday, okay? That's going to be all of us tomorrow morning dealing with this. And this isn't his first time. He has this habit. If you look at Luke 22, it says, and he came and went out, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives, and the disciples followed him. This isn't just the first time or only time. He does this regularly, and And then it says, like we said earlier, it was still dark, and that gave him the amount of time that he knew he was going to need with the Lord. And when you read the book of John chapter 15, Jesus tells us, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit in and of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So this picture in my head I have here is that Jesus has set aside enough time to breathe. To start the day, not in a gigantic hurry. Just abide. I don't know who here loves working in the garden, but things don't happen like that in the garden. If you want to see a flower bloom, then it starts as a seed, and then it takes root, and then the leaves come, and then by the vine abiding in the branch, the flower eventually comes. But it doesn't happen quickly. So the what I hear God telling me here is that when I am planning, pre-deciding how much time it's going to take for Stephen to call this a good devotion, how much time is it going to take me to abide? What does that look like for you? To cool your jets, to have time for God to speak to you, to correct you, and for you just to enter the day in a state of rest. Now, as we're talking about habits, and I know I was talking about the phone earlier, there is someone else that comes to my mind as, you know, anybody that was, you know, a child of the 90s and before, you know that the GOAT in basketball is Michael Jordan. It's just not even a debate. And I know that there's people that try to debate this on this. Man's got 6 championship rings. He's got all these records, and he did it in so few seasons. I mean, the guy took a break and played baseball, for heaven's sakes, you know. So, but we see that early on in his career, he's in high school, and he tries out for the basketball team and gets cut. Doesn't make the high school basketball team. And I think, you know, me outside looking in, I'm like, what a goofy coach to cut Michael Jordan. Well, he wasn't Michael Jordan yet. He had not put in his hours yet. And so what did Michael Jordan do? Did he quit and give up on hopes of that being something that he would become great at? No. He worked really hard. And some places you'll read that he would practice 5 and 6 hours a day until he got better at that thing, until he became Michael Jordan. And so as I ponder the story of Michael Jordan, I think about you and I, and I think about what we said earlier, which is that even in the womb, God knew what he wanted to do in and through you and I. He knew the way that he had created you, but now he also knows that if you are a Christ follower, the spiritual gifting that he's given you, he has a plan for you. But if we take the first sign of controversy, the first sign of difficulty, and we quit, then we miss our opportunity to do the Michael Jordan story that God has for us, the one that he has in mind for you and I. And so it starts with, I didn't say this earlier, but you know, I've been a Christian now since I was 7. I've been hearing about devotion since I was born. This seems so basic. It seems so simple. It seems like, you know, like for maybe it's become a word of white noise in your life. Like you've heard it so many times and you're like, I can't seem to get a habit. But it's the basic, simple thing. It's the foundational here, this element of devotion that I wholeheartedly believe that Jesus modeled it for a reason. And that if we will start with this, that he has great things that he wants to do in and through you and I, despite the difficulties that you're having in your life right now. So let's get practical here. Like what's a good starting point here for creating this habit? You know, one is set a goal. Like, okay, what time is it going to be when I get up tomorrow and I'm like, all right, it's time. We're going to start spending some time in devotion. What time is that going to be? Focus on making small changes. So Jesus was the 3 a.m.er. Don't make that your starting point. I mean, it might work tomorrow, but who knows? And the next day, it may not. You're going to be like, I can't do that again. Start small. If you're not in a habit at all, start small. How much time do you need? How much time do you need to abide? How much time is that going to take? And only you know that. Establish a daily routine. Make sure you're doing this every single day. Maybe you need to find somebody in your life you're going to be my accountability partner. I need you to ask me about this every day if you would. And hey, did you have your devotion today? And just kind of hold me accountable to it. Here at Eastgate, we've got kind of a recurring course that we do called Practicing the Way. There's actually one starting up on September 7th, and I think that would be actually a really terrific next step for a lot of us. Practicing the Way is actually going through a lot of the spiritual disciplines, more than we'll be even talking through in this series. But that would be a great way to not only learn about it, but have accountability there as well. But remembering that the habit is the conduit. It's the avenue in which the Holy Spirit is going to flow through and empower you. And this is kind of funny to me. Mike Laramie is preaching in our Rocky Mount campus. He found this quote from G.K. Chesterton. Daybreak is a never-ending glory. Getting out of bed is a never-ending nuisance. I think we all know that. This is not going to be easy. But this is really, really, really important. And so kind of reading one of the lines from that Craig Groeschel quote earlier, he said, you don't drift into consistency, you decide into it. So this is a decision that you're going to need to make tonight. Maybe tonight you're going to lay out all your clothes for Monday because that takes you some time in the morning. Maybe tonight you're going to go ahead and lay out your Bible and lay out your notebook wherever you're planning on having this time. So that way it's out and it's ready to go. Maybe you're going to go ahead and get the coffee grains ready in the coffee maker. So all you got to do is push a button in the morning. Take away every obstacle you can think of so that way tomorrow morning you can jump this thing. And then second, we can practice the spiritual habit of Christ like devotion by departing to a solitary place. Now, so in verse 35, this is not rocket science where we get these points from. It says he departed out and went out to a desolate place. Now, that's a synonym of solitary. It means to be in a lonely place. Jesus was alone. He was so alone that in verse 36, it says, Simon and those who were with him searched for him. He had to be searched for. He was so alone. And when they found him, they were like, everybody's looking for you. Well, remember, I'm telling you, it's funny how I've read this so many times in my life, but I've never, when you look at it in context, it just kind of changes your feeling in this moment. Is that you had a line out the door of people the night before, of people that were wanting to see Jesus. Do you think they just woke up and forgot about that? No, them people are back. And disciples are there going, what are we going to do? Like, we can't heal anybody. Where is Jesus? Has he left us? You know, and so Jesus, in his head, he was like, you kind of wonder, what just fell out of there? You kind of got to think, maybe I'm thirsty. That's why that fell off. Thank you, Lord. I need a drink. All right, so. Maybe as Jesus was going out to that solitary place, he was thinking, you know, oh man, they're gonna be freaking out looking for me, but this is more important right now. I don't know. I just try to find the realism, the rawness in some of these stories. But anyway, so Jesus has gotten away to this solitary place, and it's not something that he did just once. You see in the book of Luke chapter 5 that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. There's an example. This was not the solitary thing. This was something that he did a lot. He and not only that, but we just read this earlier. But Luke chapter 22, and he came out and went as was his custom to the Mount of Olives. So he didn't just have a daily habit. He had a go-to place. He had somewhere he liked to go and be alone. And if it's not enough to just look at the example set by Jesus as a reason to do this morning, look at what he told us to do. Matthew 6, he says, and when you pray, go into your room, shut the door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. Who here has heard the phrase, go to your prayer closet before, all right? We're quoting Jesus right here when we say something like that. And does it mean to literally go and shut a door in a prayer closet? Well, if the shoe fits. But what he's trying to say is get alone. Find a place where it can be just you and God together. So he had this regular habit of getting alone. He had a go-to place. He's given us, you know, here's what you should do. But he also had another thing that you would see him do from time to time where he'd break out of his go-to because the need called for it. When you read into a few chapters after that, in chapter 1, you read it later in Mark, you see the story where Jesus, he gets his 12 disciples for the first time. Like he actually he calls those 12 and he sends them out and he says, I want you to go and you preach repentance. I want you to heal the sick. I want you to cast out demons and you're going to do it in my authority. He sends them out. And so then they're out, they do amazing things, but on the way back, they learn Jesus's cousin, John the Baptist. Maybe y'all didn't know that. John the Baptist is beheaded. So they come back to Jesus with, hey, your cousin's dead. So Jesus is, you know, dealing with this heavy news. So he says, all right, okay, I got a plan. Let's go to a solitary place. So he's inviting the disciples to come with him, and they go to a desolate place is what it says. But they got followed by over 5,000 people. And so they get out to this desolate place, and the disciples are like freaking out. They're like, dude, we just brought enough food for ourselves because you said it was just going to be us. And now look around at all these people. And so what does Jesus do? He does one of the greatest miracles in the Bible. He takes the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he multiplies it, and he feeds every single person there so well that there were baskets left over. But then he's sending the people home, and he's like, I hadn't forgotten. I need to get alone. This has been a hard day. And so what does he do? It says in Mark 6, and after he had taken leave of them, he went up on the mountain to pray. Now, this is an actual picture right here of the Sea of Galilee. Is that the mountain he went to pray? I don't know. But I kind of like to imagine, what if this was the mountain? He's kind of able to look down on the city and kind of get that like distance and kind of get his thoughts together. But he looks out there on the Sea of Galilee and he sees his disciples who he has told, hey, go on ahead, go to Bethsaida, go ahead and go ahead of me. And I'm just going to go spend some time with God up here. So they go ahead. He looks out there and they're like struggling to row because there's this bad storm coming up. So he's like, just nothing but a thing. He's just like, I'm just going to go out there. I'm just going to walk on water. So he walks on water. And it says, this is funny to me because as a parent, I've done this. I feel like I've done this. But I've also, like, anytime I've been, like, alone for a while, I feel like I've done this. It says, he meant to walk by them. He didn't even mean to stop and say, hey. He was actually kind of in his head, I think, thinking, I'm not ready for them yet. But they see him and they're like, ah, it's a ghost. He's walking on water. And he's like, hey, okay, all right. It's all right. It's just me. And then crazy Peter is like, I want to come to you. He's like, come on, man. And so we know the story there. I mean, we could preach a sermon on this, but you know, Peter's eyes are fixed on Jesus. And as soon as he looks down, he starts to sink. And Jesus says, all ye of little faith. You got that whole thing. But inside of these great, awesome, been hearing these stories since I was a kid, is this one line of, he went to the mountain by himself to pray. And I think there is the inherent lesson to be learned here, is that there are times where you need to break outside of the usual go-to place because the day is called for it. Maybe you've gone through some recent loss. Maybe you're dealing with something extremely difficult. And you need more than just your usual morning time that we've just talked about. You've got it. You're doing it now. Maybe now you're looking at it and going, all right, I'm going to look ahead. Wow, what a concept. I'm going to look ahead. I'm not just going to live into today. And all right, there's a Saturday 4 weeks from now that doesn't have anything on it right now. Something's about to be there. I'm going to go to Lake Wilson that day. I'm not going to wait until that Saturday morning and wake up and be like, all right, is it going to work? Because guess what? It won't. Something will have already taken its place. You have to pre-decide. And so what would it look like in your life for you to acknowledge what you're going through and say, we got to get a little bit more time? And sometimes you have to just do like Jesus did and just say, it's got to happen now. You know better than anybody. I found it fascinating as I was thinking about this week that Jesus, we have the story where he gets baptized and then he goes into the desert for 40 days and 40 nights. He doesn't ever, like, when I read that story, I'm like, wow, that sounds really awful and really hard. How hungry was he? He was getting tempted by the devil. But there's a side of it that I wonder if Jesus ever missed, because it was his one chance that he ever had again to be alone with God for that long. Because once he started his ministry, he had them little footsteps behind him everywhere he went. And so maybe you need to look at your life right now and find your 40 days. You maybe need to find that retreat in your life and to get alone. And I'm mindful, like, you know, you're kind of hearing the underlying, like, the little feet thing. I'm a parent. I know what it looks like to can't find a room in the house where they're not searching for you. We've looked everywhere for you. I've shown pictures and video of my son Deacon, like, Caroline's just trying to go to the bathroom and he's like kicking the door on his back waiting on her to come out. I know that this is our life. So maybe the solitude is tied to the time. Maybe the only way you're going to make this happen is to get up before the rest of them little feet get up. But let's model after Jesus. And then finally, we can practice the spiritual habit of Christ-like devotion by cultivating a relationship with God. Cultivating a relationship with God. So now we're going to finally get to, he did this consistently at this particular time. He went to the solitary place. But what did he do while he was there? He prayed. Okay. Well, there's that word. And that's a loaded concept, because, I mean, when you look up the word prayer, it's got just paragraphs of definition, and like means to supplicate, which means to like to ask for things. It means to worship. It means to call on God. There's so many things, but let's just put this simply. Prayer means talking to God. And I would say that, you know, there's a reverence inside of it that I think is important, because this is the God of the universe who created you and knows your future and your present and your past. So there's that reverence side of it. But then there's the other side of it of, why wouldn't I talk to God as if he were my friend standing right in here next to me? And to be able to just be open and honest with him about the things I'm going through. And then to want to hear from him. How do you spend time? How do you develop a human relationship? You spend time with them. I think about the friends that I had when I was in college, which is crazy to say. It was 20 years ago when I was in college, and how much we loved one another to the point where I was like, man, we'll be friends the rest of our lives. But then what happens? You graduate, you start families, you all go different ways, and the next thing you know, you haven't seen each other for so long that the relationship itself has suffered because you don't talk to one another anymore. Maybe there's somebody here this morning and they're looking at their relationship with God and they're like, man, that's me today. I do love him. And I did give my life to him, but I'm treating him like he's not even there. I'm not even talking to him. We're far apart right now. And so today, this step for you looks like pray. Talk to him. Hear from him. And then check this out. Verse 38, it says, and he said to them, let us go on to the next towns that I may preach there also. For that is why I came out. And so what happens? Jesus, he gets up before dark. He gets alone with God. He talks to God. And then what happens? Like that picture of that battery on that screen. It fills up. He's like, let's go. I got this thing that I was called to do. What was Jesus called to do? Do miracles, preach. That was what he was called to do. Maybe you're called to go and be a great mechanic. But regardless, your time with God empowered you to now, while you're being a great mechanic, there's also this other side of you that is different from the rest of the world. And that's you're full of the Spirit. And the Spirit wants to build the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is grown by you telling people about Jesus. Not you just saying, would you feel me? And, you know, like if it feels just right, I might talk about Jesus today. No, this is, the Spirit has filled you. It's bursting at the seams to talk about Jesus because he is a friend that you have that you want everybody to get to know, because there's no better relationship on earth than like that one. Amen? So, all right. How do we pray? Because somebody here today is like, man, that word scares me to death. Anytime we try to pray at small group, I'm not the person you want to call upon. Because I just get bumped. I don't know what to say. Well, here's what he says. It's two-way communication. Philippians 4, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. Jesus actually wants you to ask him for things. He actually wants you to come to him in need, because he's your father. You're his child. And who turns their child away when they ask for something because they're in great need? This is part of the relationship, is the asking. And then God responds. Look at Jeremiah 33. Call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. Does anybody here have a time where you know, man, I called upon Jesus and he did reveal some things? Maybe he revealed something that you had not really thought of in your situation. Maybe he revealed something about your own heart. But he says, I will answer you. So call upon him. That's the part that we mess up. We call upon ourselves. We try to be the phone that self-powers. But call upon him. So, okay, prayer, that's the word we've been studying, but there's other ways to hear from God. He also speaks to us through his word. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, all scripture is breathed out by God and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. I love this concept of, like, When I read his word, he's going to use it, because guess what? Every day, Stephen wakes up probably walking the wrong direction. God needs to do a little bit of correction in me, like first thing in the morning, because I wake up wanting to do things my way. And so when I read his word, that's part of the correction process that he has in my life. All right, so what do I do? Like, all right, that's great, Stephen. But look, when I tried to read the Bible, I started in Genesis, and it was all really interesting. And then I got the book of Leviticus and about died, and I just gave up. All right, so what do you do? Well, if you're new to this reading the Bible thing, there are so many resources out there. Go on the Bible app. There are plans that you can choose from there that'll tell you where to start. And it'll actually help you to find a starting point that will work for where you're at, I guess, in spiritual maturity. But here would be the challenge that you've heard Pastor Gary say. This is not new, but read until God speaks. And so when you read, you're not just reading to be a student. In fact, I want to make this clear. Like, we are going to be talking about study later on in this series. That is an important aspect of being a Christ follower. I think we should be students. But when we're talking about devotion, I'm reading with a purpose to hear from God. And so once I get those words, I've heard. Once you get the word, you've heard. I don't know, that just kind of happened. But anyway, poet didn't know it. But so, sorry, I'm a dad. Those kinds of things just start happening after a while. But once you have heard from God, then hey. And when I say that, have you heard him out loud? Not necessarily. I'm not saying he doesn't do that. Sometimes it almost sounds like your inner voice. You know, the one that talks to you all day? That voice? Sometimes that voice has the word of God in it and tells you something. And then finally, in Psalm 19, we see that God speaks through his creation. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the sky above proclaims his handiwork. So maybe for you, if it's not your norm in your solitary place that it's outdoors, maybe from time to time you need to walk outside, and you just need to take the eyes and go up. And just to go, whoa, When I look at those clouds, they are so far away. And then I see, at night, I see the stars, and I'm like, wow, how big is this universe? Whoa, God's even bigger than this. The whole thing's in the palm of his hand. That's how big he is. And just as you just let your mind run away like that of pondering this, the magnitude of his glory, it says that God, the heavens declare the glory of God. And maybe you've been that. Maybe you've been standing on a mountain. Maybe you've been standing on the beach or just standing in your own backyard and you've observed the glory of God just by looking at his creation. He will speak through it. Isn't that cool? I think the part that inside of this, and that I'm hoping that we're hearing inside of this word devotion, is that it's not something that you just do one thing over and over and over and over and over again, and to the point where it's like, so I'm mindful of the fact that my wife Caroline and I, this year we're celebrating 20 years of marriage. This actually next month we're celebrating 20 years of marriage. Thank you. And it has to be said, I'm sorry, Caroline has aged like a fine wine. I've aged like Walmart grape juice, and it's just, I don't know. We've been eating the same things, and I don't know, something different happened with me. But anyway, so I've just been eating more of it. Maybe that's what it is. But anyway, so the reason I bring this up is to get to 20 years, you have to cultivate that relationship. And one of our first dates, we went to Outback Steakhouse, had a really good steak. What if I had just gotten it in my head? It was like, that was a good experience. Let's do that every single time from now on. How stale would that have gotten? Not just for her, but for me too. And so we know, I think we understand this, that when it comes to marital relationships, that you need to put some time into it. That, what a crazy thought that if every single day Caroline and I just kind of coexisted in our house and never talked to one another, and never with intent spent time alone together. Because this is so cool. I really think that God instituted marriage to teach us some things about what it looks like to be in relationship with him. Because alone time is so crucial to a marriage, just like it is with God. And how, you know, far be it from me to, on my 20th anniversary next month, to not do anything, just be another day. And so I think that one's easier to wrap my mind around. But somehow the stuff with God, I can't seem to put my hands on it. That relationship with him, I think I can't comprehend it well enough to see that it needs cultivating, to see that I need to mix it up for my own sake. That okay, all right. So I heard Stephen, man, I've got my time now. I'm doing this. But maybe you're in a good habit. I'm not trying to break that habit. Please keep that habit going. But maybe one day a week, you're like, all right, we're going to go to a different place. I'm going to take a prayer walk. And so instead of going up to my bonus room where I can get alone, I'm going to go out walking and kind of treat it like if I was walking with Caroline, my wife. Oh, this is nice to get away from the kids, you know? Kind of think about that with God, like, oh, this is nice. God, you know, what a abide. I just love abiding with you right now and just breathing in the air of this new day and to look at your creation. Maybe you would take the book of Psalms and read it like a prayer. Like, all right, when I Psalm 1, here we go. I'm just going to read this out loud and pretend it was my prayer, because I know that God said David was a man after his own heart. So what would it be like to pray like the guy who has a heart like God's? Maybe you're like trying to figure out some new methods on how to maybe focus your attention, because I've never been diagnosed. I must have ADD of some form, because like when I'm doing my sermon prep, I like to go to Larima Coffee House where there's like overstimulation, and somehow that works for me. Because if I go in my office and shut the door, I'm like, it's too quiet in here. And so maybe I'm weird, maybe y'all agree, I don't know. But when it comes to prayer, if I just sit quietly, the brain goes other places. It'll start working. I'll actually start doing my work. And so I have to I have to journal, and I'm doing a typing gesture because my handwriting is so horrible, and so I can't, it'll do me no good to write it. I won't be able to read it later, and so I like to type my prayers, but also, when I'm talking to God, I'll practice, if I'm talking on the cell phone, this is what I'm doing. I'm just kind of pacing back and forth. And there is a path in my bedroom that the carpet is wearing out from. If I'm talking on the phone to you, this is probably what I'm doing. You know, there's cracks on the stage, so like my OCD doesn't step on the cracks because you break your mama's back, and I heard that was true. I give these examples, and I could keep going. All you got to do is talk to somebody who's been a Christian for any length of time, and they'll give you new ideas. If you're willing to go to a marriage retreat and to learn more about how to be a better spouse, and if you're willing to put in the time and the energy to cultivate that relationship, why wouldn't we spend 100 times that amount cultivating a relationship that we don't even deserve, where he chose us first while I was his enemy, and then he brought me in and loved me when I hated him, and then he changed my heart and has opened my eyes to who he is and who I am before him. How foolish of me to not pour every ounce of my time and energy into getting to know that person. And so that makes it worth it. We're being real practical. This is all good. It's good practical stuff. But if you don't want that, you're not going to do this. So my prayer for us today is that we would all want this. That we would all, in our heart, desire deeper relationship with God. And that in doing this, the setting that time, departing to that place, and hearing from God, that the battery fills up in your life, and you're like, here I go. I'm ready to go. And it's gonna domino effect, or that's not a domino, but you know what I'm trying to say. The other things that God's called you to do, it'll compound. That's the word I was looking for. But it started with that, and now God's going to keep doing amazing things through you. So tonight, before you go to bed, you're probably going to take your phone, and you're probably going to plug it in next to your bedside, because let's face it, we have a habit probably of being on our phone. And if you don't have this habit, you're a better person than I am. Mine's right here, and but you're going to probably do that when you go to bed tonight. Are you going to make a plan in the morning to do this from a spiritual sense? Are you going to make a plan in the morning to plug in and charge this battery to be ready for the day? Will you set aside a consistent time, depart to a solitary place, and cultivate a relationship with God? Let's pray. Lord, this is a word that I needed to hear today. And it seems like such a basic thing to conceive, Lord, and it's one we've heard a lot. But in my heart, God, I feel the burning that what was kind of being said there at the end is, do I really want this? Because if I do, then I will do this. So God, in each one of us right now, Lord, would you burn in our soul, burn in our heart, this desire to be known and to know you and to be like you and to be filled and changed by you. And if you're here this morning and you're a follower of Christ, that you know that you need to step this up, would you pray with me? God, I surrender. And as we read in that theme verse earlier, I'm going to let you move in my life. I'm opening my hands to you right now. But I also recognize that I can be like that expensive paperweight of a phone that's doing nothing with all this potential. God, correct my heart. Clean my heart. And I pray, God, that help me now, empower me to take these actions. But I'm choosing right now. I'm pre-deciding. Some things are going to change right now. And if I'm going to look for an accountability partner, let it be you first. Maybe you're here this morning and the concept of relationship with God is foreign to you because you don't know Jesus. And maybe you've been, like we were saying earlier, you've had your fist shaken at him and you you've been his enemy. There's all kinds of reasons why maybe you don't know him. But friend, there's no better relationship on earth or in the whole universe than that one. And we can't earn it on our own. We can only receive the gift that he's given us. So would you pray with me? God, I confess with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. I believe in my heart that you have risen him from the grave. And so God, would you, by my confession and by my faith, change my life? Forgive me of my sins. I repent and I choose not to turn down that path anymore. And would you be the Lord and the King of my heart? And as I surrender to you, God, do your will in and through me. Friend, if you prayed that prayer right now, all of heaven is rejoicing because you have gone from death to life. You are a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. And God has a big, big, big plan and adventure he wants to take you on. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.